began to download some stuff into me, some simple stuff. How many are thankful that we a lot of times make it so difficult, you know? And we don't have to overthink stuff. Amen? We can just soak in the Lord. That's why Paul tells us we don't have to walk by what we're looking at. We can walk by faith. And so I was just spending time with the Lord coming home. It was 96 degrees in October. How many remember that? 2 weekends ago. And my mom said, why don't you take my car? It'd be a lot cheaper on gas. I said, yeah, that's a great idea. Because, you know, it's a seven-hour drive out there and a seven-hour drive back. And my old big truck only gets like 11 miles a gallon. Well, I got blessed with 96 degrees and no air conditioning. Because we didn't realize that our air compressor had went kaput. And so part of the time I had the windows down, and another time I had them up, and the wind was just blowing like crazy. So I felt like I was in a blast furnace. And I couldn't have the radio going because I had to have the windows down. I couldn't hear it. And so I just spent time with the Lord, and the Lord began to just download some stuff into me that I just want to just share with you this morning. And the first scripture I want to bring forth this morning is Pastor Harley spoke about Paul and Timothy. He wrote this to Tim in 2 Timothy 3:16, and I'm going to read the Amplified Version here. It says that all scripture, that's from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between. I know there's some people that are actually, I've heard preachers say that, well, since the rail was rent in two, that we don't need to worry about what's in the Old Testament. Uh-uh. All scripture, amen, is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of our sins, amen, for correction of errors and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage. That's a mouthful. All scripture does that for you and for me. And then this morning, I got a little bleep on my phone, and I thought, wow, Lord, this is so cool. It's from one of my Bible apps, and it says this in Isaiah 55, 10, and 11. And again, I'm going to read from the Amplified, because I think it just kind of gets us in a more of our norm. You know what I mean? I like to preach from New King James a lot of times, but sometimes it's just good to have a different version. It says this, for as the rain and the snow, which is coming soon, church, comes down from heaven, and it does not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout forth and providing seed to the sower, and from that seed comes bread, amen, for the eater, so will my word be, which goes out of my mouth. Now listen, it will not return to me useless, without results, and without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. How many are thankful that the word is alive and powerful, and it's able to work in your life today? Mike, how you doing? Last time I saw you, you were at my place. Thank you so much, brother. God had his hand of protection over him. But the word of God is alive, and it wants to impart something in you today. How many want to receive it? Amen. Rocky, would you put up Psalms 23, 1 through 6. And if you have a New King James, that'd be awesome. And we're just going to read this. We all know this scripture. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." In fact, you got it up there? Let's read it together. Can we do that? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Think about that. So as I was contemplating this scripture that the Lord was just feeding into my spirit as I was driving, I thought, man, Lord, your word is alive. We quote this all the time. We hear it at funerals. We hear it all the time, and different people will just quote this. But how many of us have really, really thought about what this really says? John 10 says, "Truly, truly," John 10, 1 through 4, "I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep." You see, if anybody comes in, how many are thankful for our shepherd here? Oh, come on, you can do better than that. You see, he's a true shepherd because he doesn't let anybody just come in from the back door and start speaking into your life. And that's what a shepherd does, see? And this is what Jesus is talking about. He who does not enter into the front door but comes from the back way or tries to climb in, sneaking in some other way, he's a thief and a robber. He wants to steal from you. But he who enters by the front door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. That should be a kaboom. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They know me, and they follow me." Now, I'm hoping this video, I was praying this morning, and I said, man, so cool. Because people, a lot of us, how many really know what sheep are all about? How many people have had sheep? Okay, you've had a sheep? Oh, no. You've had sheep? No. I've had hogs, and I've had cows, which I would call in. I'd say, "Skiff," and them and my horses, and they would all come. But I've never had sheep. And sheep are an entity all their own. And I want to show you this video. I'm gonna preface it here. There's four people that's going to call to these sheep. Three that the sheep don't know, and the fourth they do. See what happens here. I hope it works, yeah. is the first one. Now this is the one the sheep knows. Praise the Lord. How many get the picture? How many have ever seen that before? Have you? Cool. Isn't that cool? Yeah, it's real. Matthew 18:12 in the Amplified, it says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, will he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go and search for that last one? Now think about it. If you're in the 99, you think, oh, no big deal. Okay? But if you're the one, and he comes looking for you, that's a big deal. A lot of us think, were you able to get those pictures? There should be three. If you can put the first one up there. No, not that one. Get back. That's the only one? Okay, that's fine. So picture, if you will, this cute little lamb and this sheep. And oh, see, there, Jesus comes looking for you because you're so cuddly and you're so nice, and he wants to bring you into the sheepfold, right? But oh yeah, that's cute. Now go back to the first one. But most of us, no, not that one, the first one. Yeah, most of us come looking like that. We're a mess. Come on. Psalms 40, verse 1 and 2 says, I waited patiently, intentionally for the Lord. And he inclined, and he heard me crying. You think that sheep, well, he took the picture away. That's okay. You think that sheep's having a good time? He brought me out of the pit of destruction and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and ordained my steps. A lot of us come to the Lord looking like that. But the world and religion tells us that we got to be all cleaned up like that first one before we can be accepted. And that's not the way the Lord works. He's willing to take us with all of our junk, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he's willing to go and chase us down if need be. I'm thankful to the Lord that my mom never quit praying for me, because I was a mess. I didn't come looking like that first sheep. I was raised in a church. But I wasn't always a clean sheep, guys. I got to the point in my life I was just like that. And yet, he left the 99 to come say, I have a call of God on your life. I'm willing to use you where you're at, how you are. And that's why it's so important that we bring our junk with us. Jesus says in Matthew, he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, amen, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is light and my burden is easy. See, he's willing to take us in that predicament right there, just like we are, and he's willing us to take us and put us, as the Holy Spirit begins to pour his life into us, he's willing to change us, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. There's a big difference. I can take a shower and not get clean. I can be busy but not productive. I can be religious but not full of Christ. Romans says this, and as you look at that picture, think of where God has brought you from. Okay? When the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan, what did the Lord tell them to do? To build an altar, right? Why? So they would remember where God brought them from. We're not going to worship that altar, but it's going to be a remembrance. Amen? Romans 8, 31 through 35. What shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I say, if God is for us, who cares who's against us? That'd be a good place to say amen. Who cares who's against us? He did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Who cares? Because God is for us, amen? It is God who justifies us, declaring us blameless and putting us into right relationship with him. Who is the one who condemns us? Christ Jesus is the one who died for us. He paid our penalties. And more than that, he raised us. He was raised from the dead. Amen. And who is at the right hand of God. And what's he doing? He's interceding for us. He's making a way where there seems to be no way. He's creating within us a new man, amen, giving us a new song, amen, giving us a new word, a new revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Yet in all these things, we're wimps. Is that what it says? What's it say? Not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Amen? In all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory, praise the Lord. Because all the promises through Jesus Christ are what? Yes and amen. Yep. We're overwhelming victory through him who loved us. For I am convinced, Paul says, and I continue to be convinced. I like this. I'm reading out of Amplified. I'm not normally going there, but he's got so many extra points in here. He continues to be convinced. We have to continually to feed our spirit man, amen? Continue to encourage ourselves in the Lord like David did, because when our circumstances get yucky, how do we get out of it? Continue to convince ourselves to worship the Lord and to thank him to be overcomers and more than conquerors. I'm still convinced, he says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present or threatening. How many know that there's lots of threats? There's lots of threats. but they don't come forth a lot of times. And we have to stand on the promises of God. Amen? Lots of threats. Nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to what? Separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is through Christ Jesus. I shared this testimony when I first came back to church after my cancer and my surgery. And when I got diagnosed in March at 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday morning, when the doctor came in and told me, the Lord dropped this verse into my spirit. Philippians 4:19, it says, "And my God shall supply all." Say all. Your needs. Your needs. Not just one need, plural needs. According to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I stood on that promise. I stood on that promise. Why? Because I believe that the Lord is my shepherd. So I want to go back to Psalms 23, Rocky, and we're going to read it a little bit differently. Listen to me. This is what the Lord spoke to me. Not just the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you hear the difference there? Not just the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes. Say it again. My shepherd. My shepherd. We have to take ownership of who we are in Christ. Do you hear me this morning? The Lord wants to be my shepherd. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord is my shepherd. He's not just anybody's shepherd. He's my shepherd. And he's going to make me to have an area that's comfortable for me to reside in. Amen. Them green pastures, we think about, well, it's just some place far and far by and by. Like there used to be this old religious song that was out there. I've got a cabin in glory land. Uh-uh. I may have a cabin coming up. I don't know. But right here, right now, my shepherd is taking care of me and giving me a place to reside. Amen. He leads me to places that I can be comfortable and I can find peace and tranquility. Where is that? It's in his presence. Amen. So when I get up in the morning, I could have went into deep depression and said, oh, woe is me, I'm going to die. I turned 60 in a couple weeks, and I thought, I'm not even going to make it to my 60th birthday. I'm not going to see my grandkids grow up. I mean, all this stuff was trying to just come into me, but God had not given me a spirit of fear, hallelujah, but of power and love and a sound mind. I said, no way, I'm not wearing that fear. Because you just told me, Lord, that you're going to supply all my needs. And I went to a place of peace. You know how I did it? Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Every morning when I get up, I've asked the Lord to help me to do this, and it's become a habit. How many know that you want something to change in your life? You got to create a new habit. Addicts got habits. But God can deliver us from them all. Amen? I have a habit now. I get up in the morning, first thing out of my mouth, first thing in my mind, even before my eyes are even open. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm thanking him for. I'm just thanking him. I'm thanking him that he's my shepherd, that he's taking care of me, that he's making a way where there seems to be no way, that he's transforming me from glory to glory, that he's given me a new lease on life, that he's given me the ability to breathe in and breathe out. Amen? He restores my soul. That's your very being. You can have a hell of a day, but you can be in the presence of God and be at peace. Amen? I'm not talking about being happy. I'm talking about being joyful, thankful, and in the peace of God. Everything may be going on around you that does not seem right, fair, or fun, but you can still be at peace in the presence of God. Anybody getting this besides me? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Bobby, you've been there. It's not fun, is it? Frank, you've been there. It's not fun. Mom was there this week. She had up times and down times. We all do. Maybe you're going through something. I have been going through it this year. But even though I walk through not the valley of death, it's the shadow of death. See, the enemy wants to try to portray a darkness over our life, but how many know that the darkness cannot overpower the light? Light overpowers darkness. And when you begin to thank the Lord and you begin to encourage yourself in the Lord, and when you say the Lord is my shepherd, I'm not going to lack anything, that helps you to go through and out of your turmoil, out of the junk in your life, out of the manure pile that you've been carrying around, he can use it for fertilizer to give you a testimony to minister to people around you. Even though I was in that valley, the shadow of death, I was not going to fear evil. How many's ever been afraid? So I'm not standing here to tell you today that I wasn't afraid of my cancer. Wasn't telling you that I was not afraid of having surgery. Yes, I had times of doubt. Yes, I had times that, oh my goodness. But thy rod and my staff, they comfort me. The Lord was with me. Paul wrote this. He said, everybody have left me, but the Lord stood with me. My shepherd stood with me. Your shepherd wants to stand with you today. So we don't have a real clear picture of how the rod and the staff work. See, when a shepherd would go along, he'd carry, that rod was a weapon that protected him from anything that tried to come and attack. Now we'd probably use like a Glock 9mm or something like that, you know. Your staff, there's something about the staff. See, the shepherd could reach out when that lamb or that sheep was ready to stray off, and he could grab it and pull it back in. Redirect. How many thankful that the Lord is willing to redirect us and give us fresh direction. When I was reading this next line, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We have things in our life that have become enemies to us. It wants to destroy our spirit, man. It wants to destroy us, how God's built us naturally. Sometimes things come against us that wants to destroy us, like our finances, our health, our family. But in spite of all those things, my shepherd prepares a table for before me. I remind of your testimony when you were preaching a few months ago. You talked about you used to work for this woman that was super mean. And the Lord told you to take her out for lunch. How many remember that? When he preached on that. I was thinking about this. God does that. God does that. Prepares a table for us in the presence of thine enemies. That means we're at his gourmet buffet. Even if our enemies are all around us, we can be at peace, feeding at the table of the Lord, amen, dining in his presence. You anoint my head with oil. You know, back in the when these scriptures were written, when you would go to someone's home, a good gesture of the host would be to give you oil to put on yourself, to cool you down, to soften your skin, to take off the heat of the day. And it was a calming, soothing ointment. The Lord wants to pour his anointing over you to calm you, to soothe you, to anoint you for whatever he's allowing you to go through. Amen? See, sometimes God does not take us out of the situation. He takes us through. Why? Because he wants us to have a living, breathing testimony to give him glory. I imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fiery furnace, I bet that's the last place they wanted to be. But how many know that the Lord was with them? When Daniel was in the lion's den, I don't think he wanted to be there, but how many know the Lord was with him? Nothing happened to him. When Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and he was thrown in prison, and yet he had the vision of the Lord that he was going to be helping his people and that his brothers were going to be bowing before him, and that the last place he thought he was going to be was in prison. How many know the Lord was with him? Preparing a table in the presence of their enemies. God may be bringing you through something right now that you hate being there, but I'm telling you, he's going to be preparing a table for you, amen, that you can feast on with his presence as you get into the Word of God and you devour it and you get up every day and you say, I thank you, Jesus, in spite of what's going on, amen, and he's going to inoculate you with his presence and give you the ability to become more than conquerors. And it doesn't end there. Surely, goodness, and mercy. How many are thankful for mercy? Man, I pray, Lord, thank you for mercy. I'm thankful I'm not getting what I deserve. They're going to follow me all the days of my life. I got to admit, when I was a little boy, I read that, and I thought that was three girls. Surely, goodness, and mercy. And I don't want three girls following me around all the days of my life. You know, when you're a little boy, you thought, I don't want a bunch of girls following me around. But as I got older, I wised up. And I realized, wow, goodness and mercy are with me, praise God, through the trials and through the storms. And I will be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's read this together again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of fear, of death, excuse me, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Has a completely different meaning, doesn't it? When you personalize what God has for you. That's why it's so important that we realize that all Scripture, not just the fun ones, all Scripture is given for inspiration and for correction. Amen? Conviction. The Word of God does not want us just to be where we are today. The Lord does not set us up just to be who we are today. A few weeks ago, it's kind of ironic, Pastor preached on the family of God and some other things, and the Lord gave me the message on what's in our toolbox. God does not want us to be bench warmers, amen? He wants us to be involved. He wants us to say, hey, here I am, Lord, send me. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Put me in, coach, I'm ready. That's what God wants. He didn't save you for you just to be an emblem to be polished every Sunday. No, he saved you so you could be duplicated, amen? He tells us to go, amen? Let people read the book of your life, but let it glorify him. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you say, man, I don't know if I can do all this because I don't have it within myself. That's okay. Maybe you're still in that dirty sheep mode there. And that's okay. You're in the right place. Because great beginnings start from humble beginnings. Excuse me. Great things start from humble beginnings. This morning I went to church with my wife and Teen Challenge Brothers were there, Clinton. And there's a guy that stood up and he said, this is the most humbly thing I've ever had to do in my life, come to this program. I said, but God's changing me. The Bible says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And if you don't have a personal relationship with the shepherd this morning, or maybe you know about him, but you don't really know him, today's your day. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and allow him to take control of your life so that you too can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Every head bowed this morning. If that's you this morning, say, I need more of Jesus, or I need to make a relationship with Jesus in my life. I need to make him the true shepherd of my life. Don't leave here this morning without meeting him face to face right here, right now. Philippians says that every tongue will confess in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every knee is going to bow and say that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you have an opportunity here right now to say that. So, Lord, I just ask you to stir our hearts this morning, Lord. Or maybe you're here and you know the Lord, but you've not really surrendered your life totally to him. And you feel like, Lord, I'm just spinning my wheels and I haven't really moved forward. I know you've got more for me. Lord, allow me to surrender everything to your lordship this morning. If that's you this morning, we want to pray with you. Don't leave here the same way that you came in. Lord, we just thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, it would be planted deep within our hearts. Use it to allow us to grow this morning. Become all that you want us to be, Lord. Be the shepherd of our lives, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Believe. That's what God is asking us to do. Sometimes we have to say, well, what does that mean? Believe. You know, if we have faith, it shall be, right? Amen? And you know, as we go through these things in our life, and we want you to come, if you need prayer, for sure, we want you to come. But, you know, this isn't just somebody standing up there saying garble. You know, sometimes we hear all kinds of messages, and a lot of times that's what it is. It's garble. It's somebody taking the word of God and just throwing out garble. This is real. You know, back in March, I don't know about you, but, you know, the brother's doing good. And just suddenly, just like that, he had no idea, but he was going through something, goes into the hospital, and he's got cancer. And they're saying it's very aggressive. Well, what would that do to you right there? You know, and then he goes into the hospital. I want to tell you, he's in the hospital, and they got to cut out part of his intestines, but they cut him open and take out all his intestines, put them on a table, and wash them. Understand that? I mean, that now is all his guts are out on the table, and they're washing these things. And we came in there, and we looked at him, and we came into the hospital. We looked at him. I want to tell you, brother, you look like crap. I mean, absolute crap, if that's the right word. And you know, and he just kept believing. And I mean, you know, a few weeks went by, and then they finally let him out. But we go to his house and we visit him. I want to tell you, you still look like crap. But he kept believing. And you know, he's cancer free. So, you know, when he's telling you that. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to tell you, he went through a test to see if he believes. You know, those tests aren't over for him. He's got a few more little tests going on in his life, not with cancer. But we all go through these things, and God wants us to believe. And sometimes just believing and agreeing, if two or more agree on anything, touching on anything. And sometimes the Lord says, he said, to lay hands on him. And we do that because God imparts, not the person or any other thing. God imparts because we're being faithful unto the Lord. Amen. So if you need prayer, don't run away today. Come on up. If you need prayer for anything, praise God. God wants to help you believe. Amen. How many appreciate the word of God today? Amen. You're free in the name of Jesus, but if you want prayer, come on up forward. Amen.